Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. We have a special guest today, David Krieger. We'll be discussing gold and coins and bringing you up to date and offering some very good specials on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, July 31st, 2013. But first, let's get to the market report. And we had a very nice day in gold today. Yes, it was still down $5 at $1,322, but we did have a low of $1,305. So a nice little recovery in gold today at $1,322. You have silver up 7 cents today at $19.91. Platinum was down $3 at $14.39. And palladium also down $4 at $730. Happened late in the day. The USDX got hammered today. That was down 0.26 at $81.60. Crude oil today up $2 at $105.15. The paper markets today. The Dow was all over the page, up 60, down 6, up 60, down 6, to end at down 16. At 15,503. The NASDAQ was up 9 at 36.26 with the S&P basically unchanged from yesterday at 16.85. The 10-year yield, though, I believe I saw earlier in today it was over 2.60, and it's trending right now down 0.01 at 2.59. If you have any questions for today's program, you can direct them to questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com. Before we get to Mr. Krieger, I'd like to say hello to Al. Hi, Al.
Hello, Melody. Going to learn a little bit about the coin market today?
Yes, we are.
Hmm.
We're going to, tomorrow, though, I do want to tell the listeners I failed to bring that up. The GDP was released today. And again, I believe that's why we saw such big swings in both the Dow and the dollar. You also had Bernanke after his comments. He came out and mentioned some things. And we're going to talk about how the GDP has been revised in the way they figure the numbers. And so, folks, make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll go into a little more. We'll go get a little bit deeper into that tomorrow.
I have a question for you, Melody. I've heard a rumor that the next chairman of the Federal Reserve, in order to be chairman of the Federal Reserve, you have to agree to have your tongue cut out. because no matter what they say, the markets go up, they go down, and there's no way of controlling it. So there, if you want to be chairman of the Federal Reserve, do you know if that's is that true or is that an unfounded rumor?
Well, I don't know. They say rumors are usually, what, 90-95% true. So
where there's rumors, there's fire.
Yeah. But, yes, we're going to be hearing this debate for the next couple of months. And I've even saw a rumor today where they expect Bernanke to step down prior to the end of his term. But and, you know, you're going to hear the back and forth. Is it summer or is it going to be Yellen? But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Summer, spring, Yellen, or fall. All you got to do is wait. Well, in any case, let's move on.
In any case, which other? You know, they talk about summer will be better for gold than Yellen will be, but it just seems to be.
I don't believe any of that. I don't think put anybody up there that's going to do gold any favors.
They're going to do what they're told to do.
Man.
And gold is going to be good on its own. So gold does not need either one of them.
And it will survive either one of them. But,
yeah. But we do need David Krieger joining us this afternoon. We do want to thank him for taking the time out and joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, David.
Can you hear me? Am I there?
Yes, you are.
It is super. Hello, Melody.
Hi, David.
Hello, David.
Al, how are you doing?
Just
this
fine.
Time I have my microphone turned the right way, so I can actually, you can probably hear me.
Well, you don't have to necessarily turn your microphone the right way. All you have to do is turn around in your chair, and then you're facing the right way.
Now, I'm very embarrassed. You know, the last time you asked me to come on, I had a new microphone. And so I put it down, and it turned out it was upside down. And so I was about an inch away from it trying to make you you hear me. And it's pretty funny. Melanie and I had a good laugh of that afterwards.
Yes, green side up.
Green side up.
Green side
up.
David, tell
us
a little bit. We're happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I didn't tell the listeners your experience in the gold market.
Yeah, I came in to the gold business about 17 years ago after I served in the United States Navy for 30 years. I'm a retired Navy captain. And I had a really an interesting introduction. I met the owners of one of the largest wholesale coin companies in America that is here in Tampa, Florida. And they offered me an opportunity, which I thought was interesting, and that was to start a website in 1994, 1995, long before the majority of websites were up. And I ran a company called Goldcoin Supersite. I did well on it, but in those days, it was a one-man operation. I worked long hours. People on the West Coast were just getting interested at 10 o'clock at night. And frankly, it was something I didn't want to do. So I became a wholesale trader in 1996 and stayed in the wholesale side for a number of years. I had an opportunity to go to Delaware, where I ran a precious metals depository in Wilmington for a couple of years. I started the new depository, took it into work, and then because I live in Tampa and I was commuting to Delaware, I started my own wholesale company. And I guess, Melody, you and I have done business for close to 16 years now.
That is true. That is correct.
Yeah. So I'm entirely a wholesaler. I deal with you and other really neat people, and I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Lots of time. I tell my clients it's very important, and that's one thing I don't do here at Discount Gold and Silver, is I don't use 20 different wholesalers. I build a relationship with you, and we know how we rely on how we conduct business. I know what I expect from the coins that come from you, and you know what I require. You send me good quality coins, and also the way I pay you. So it is a building relationship, and I stress to my clients, this is what they need to have with their gold dealer. You know, we're here to build relationships with them so they know what to expect each time they make an order, and it's very important.
Well, I'm going to make a bet. I'm going to stick on the speaking from the outside of this exactly. I'm not involved in the sale per se or the business end of this, but it seems that if you have a good relationship with your wholesaler, it makes you more confident about the prices that you can offer at any particular time.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a lot more confidence. If you were not confident about your wholesaler, you probably couldn't offer as low prices as you do, at least some of the time. Is that true? Is there a basis for that, or is that not?
Absolutely.
I can maybe take a little bit of that. I think that the relationship that Melanie and I have established over the 16 years is very positive. We probably talk 2, 3, 4 times a week. She knows what I have, what is good. I price it to her very competitively. I try to give her the best prices just because not only do I like her and I like what she does and the way I know she treats her customers, but you mentioned it, Melody, about paying. You're always ahead of the curve. You always do it right. It allows me to go out and buy more things, turn over, and you're the kind of customer I really enjoy working with. That's very important. So you get first shot at the good deals, frankly.
Thank you.
That's just evidence. It's the sort of thing that it's good for Melody, it's good for you, and it's good for Melody's customers. It works for everybody, or at least it should work for everyone. You get the lowest prices, highest volume,
And it comes back to the quality of the product, too. I see some of the product I buy back from my clients, they purchased elsewhere. I see complaints online that they buy from these dealers online and so forth, and they get the product that's scratched and dented and dinged and, beat up, but yet, they're paying the same price as if they bought something of quality, or maybe if they paid a dollar more, they would have received a little bit better quality. And quality is important, and people don't pay much or enough attention to this anymore. And I know when I buy from you, David, I know what I'm going to get. I know I'm going to get quality product. I know you're not going to try to send me, like when I buy AU $5 Liberties, you're not going to try to throw in a few extra fines that are real nice
and
pretty.
They're
going to be beautiful AUs, if not better.
Well, I think I've mentioned to you before that you get first cut. Basically, what I do is I represent you. I have the coins laid out. Let's say you want to buy a bunch of AU 5 libs. I put out the 5 libs and I hand select every one that goes to you. I personally stand behind every one and always have. I think that is something that makes a lot of difference. And I will tell you that I used to do business with a couple people doing a similar business to yours, and I stopped doing business with them. And the reason was that they started going and buying cheap things from other dealers. In other words, something that came in off the street just happened. They got a really good deal. It was really cheap. They washed it out. And I'll tell you what, I didn't want to be faced with having to buy it back. So I just stopped. I severed the relationship.
What do you mean by they washed it out?
Well, what I mean is they went looking for the cheapest things that they could offer. And my feeling is when you offer something that's cheap, CIRC quality coins, they're not very good looking. And you may be accumulating ounces of gold, but what you're accumulating, in my opinion, is something that I don't think is very smart. I kind of like what Melody does. She likes BU and AU coins. She provides good quality coins. I provide her the best that I can find at the time, and that's comfortable to me. I know that I can, whatever Melody's going to send me, I'm going to buy back because I know what I provided her.
What do you think? What's your opinion on the difference between bullion and collectibles, mint state? I mean, I recognize when you do bullion, there's not really a quality issue, and the quality only applies when we're concerned about quality. This can apply to mint state.
Well, is that true?
collectible coins.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, it depends on what you're talking about. Let me just throw just a little comment in here, something that I see from time to time. People who buy gold bullion coins, raw ones, you know, the uncertified, get them in a tube, which is fine. I mean, there's reasons for buying anything, and I'm not going to badmouth this, but here's what happens often. The people buy them. They've spent a lot of money. They have, let's say, they have a tube of 5 or 10 or 20 American gold eagles, and they take them out and they look at them. The first thing is, if they're not careful, they're grabbing them on the obverse and the reverse with their fingers, and pretty soon, whoop, they drop one here. When I go to buy back bullion, you'd be surprised how many are knocked up, have fingerprints on them, or have really been kind of defaced. They're not always beautiful. That's all I'm trying to say. You really have to take care of them, and you should be careful about how you handle them.
Does it make a significant difference in the price of bullion coins that they be maintained without fingerprints? I mean, I understand that, you know, I mean, does it affect the price significantly?
Well, no, I don't think so. Not significantly, but, you know, it's easy to buy gold bullion coins. Mm-hmm. The premiums are low, and it's a favorite way to purchase gold. You can't argue with that. Going to sell it is a little different, and I think people need to think about that. When you sell back bullion, many dealers recognize that there's a limit to how many they can buy at a time without issuing a 1099. Now, I've worked in the wholesale company I worked at. If you weren't an incorporated entity and you sold back one or more American Gold Eagles, you got a 1099. That's a reporting requirement. The reason that you got the reporting requirement in the 1099 was that the dealer is the guy who has to defend to the IRS any challenge about should you or should you not have issued a 1099 for the purchase back from a customer of those American Gold Eagles. And so the company policy where I work was, don't care, 1099 for everybody. If it's my grandmother, she gets a 1099. And I mm-hmm. think a lot of dealers are similar to that, because they don't want to be hassled by the IRS. And, you know, if they're not doing it by letter and intent. And I don't think there is any standard issued directive as to how many bullion pieces you can sell back without a 1099. It's an opinion.
Okay. Now, is there a variation on how many collectibles you can sell back?
Nope.
With or without a 1099?
Nope. There is not.
Then I can sell as many collectibles back as I want, and I don't get a 1099. True?
That's right.
Okay. Well,
that's not uncommon to buy back.
That's a big advantage.
You know, yeah, well, yeah, it is, and you should think about that, and I think that's a big deal. Now, some people say, well, that's not true. You can there's no requirement to issue a 1099. My understanding is, I'm a member of the Industry Council on Tangible Assets, and the guidance that comes out from that lobbying group, which works in Washington, is that if you sell 20 or less American Gold Eagles back, there's not a requirement. If you sell 20 or more, there is. However, what I'm saying is most dealers are going to sit there and say, well, wait a minute, you know, it's too hard. I'm just giving you a 1099. So you might have to consider that if you're going back to buy to sell back the American Gold Eagles or
bars. Do you think the dealers ask for the 1099 in all cases? Oh, out of an abundance of caution, or they just don't want the complication of saying, I'm going to give one to Mary, but not to Sue, but to Jim, but not to Bob. Just tell the help, look, give them all 1099.
I only have experience at the one really large wholesale company, and that was the policy. Everybody gets a 1099 unless you're a corporation. If it says Inc. after your company name, you're okay. Then you don't get one.
You know, David, a lot of these, well, I should say my competitors, what I hear a lot is when people are buying, they'll use the industry's example of what's reportable and not reportable. The Gold Eagle is not specifically listed, but what they fail to tell the people is when that list was created and it was negotiated, I don't even believe the Gold Eagles were minted at the time.
Well,
that's an interesting point.
I'm not sure.
But I'll tell you what, why don't we bring that, why don't we consider that a little further after we take our commercial break? I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and Dave Krieger, and we'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and Dave Krieger on Financial Survival, and programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Melody, I guess you want to tell folks about today's special, and then we'll get back to Dave.
Yeah, we're going to run a Mint State 62. It's only a $10 difference between a 1 and a 2. A Mint State 62, $20 Liberty Gold piece. And the price on that today on this special is going to be $1,660. That is a, let's see, hold on, folks. That is a $90 savings per coin. So $1,660 for a Mint State 62, $20 Liberty Gold piece, and we will also include a 1 ounce Silver Eagle free of charge. So What a deal, folks. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. This special will run through for the late night listeners, so just pick up the phone, and if you'd like to make an order, just leave a message, and we'll give you a call back in the morning. Carla's standing by the phones right now, so give her a call. Mint State 62, $20 gold piece.
Okay, we were talking when we broke for the commercials, we were talking about the list that's been provided by one of the official organizations, I don't recall the name, of which coins require a 1099. And Melody, I think, brought up the idea that the list was perhaps originated before Gold Eagles went into manufacture.
Is that
meaning
true?
Some people sit back and say, because it's not on the list, the Gold Eagles, there's no 1099. And Melody's saying, no, but wait, there were no Gold Eagles when they made the list, so maybe there is, maybe there is a requirement for 1099 on Gold Eagles. So we'll ask Dave if he has an answer. Gold Eagles, yes, no, or maybe?
Well, as far as I know, there is no requirement for Gold Eagles to be reported. However, in fact, I'm looking at the list right here. Here's the question. You know, what should you report? And the real answer is gold, silver, platinum, and palladium in bar and certain coin, which the Commodities Future Trading Commission has approved under regulated futures contracts. Okay, what does that mean? And it means that gold bars up to a kilo don't need to be reported. But if you have 1 ounce gold bars and you sell 33, you're going to get a 1099. Silver bars, platinum bars, palladium bars, if you have 1 ounce gold maple leaves, cougarans, or the Mexican onzas, they're reportable if you sell 25 or more back. But what I'm saying, just for clarity, is that the dealer that is buying them oftentimes doesn't, you know, you can run into dealers and they'll say, okay, sure, there it is. But some dealers are very conservative because the onus of what is reportable or not is not on the buyer or the seller. It's on the buying dealer. And he may very well feel, and I know this is not uncommon, that the dealer will say, okay, I'll buy him, but I'm giving you a 1099. And the reason is he doesn't want to take the responsibility to argue the case in front of the IRS. He's just going to simply say, hey, look, I gave him a 1099. I'm off to something else. So that's what I'm saying. Is that a little clearer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I follow what you're saying.
Yeah.
When we talk about certain coins, the list you were reading from, we talked about bars and
right.
certain coins.
Right.
Do these certain coins that are reportable, do they tend to be foreign coins rather than domestic gold and silver?
Well, the ones that are listed are the maple leaves, the cougarans, and the Mexican onzas. I don't know that there is anything else. I frankly think those are the most common for what it is. But those are the more common bullion coins. I think if somebody has something that isn't that and is bullion, they really need to talk to a tax professional and see what would be their interpretation. I'd rather not go there because I don't know.
What do you suppose the situation is relative to the Chinese panda?
I would guess that it's probably included in that list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know.
It sounds like nobody really knows. And it sounds like it's one of those catch-22 situations where some people are trying to protect themselves by just giving a 1099 to anyone who walks in the door. Just look, I'm not going to mess with the IRS. Maybe they've already been there once and they don't want to ever do it again.
When I worked for the wholesale company for 10 years, that's exactly the philosophy that it was. Don't care if it's not a corporation, you get a 1099.
I think one of the big questions that most people would perhaps be interested in, what do you see happening to the supply of gold and silver coins? Collectibles in particular, bullion perhaps, if you want to talk about bullion. Is the supply increasing, decreasing, just staying stable? What's happening to the supply, and what do you expect is going to happen, say, a year from now?
Well, that's an open-ended question.
Don't want to let you just say yes or no.
There've been some significant coin shows around the country in the last couple months. Out in Long Beach, California, there's a major coin show that happens three times a year. In the summer, Florida United Numismatists Convention in Orlando happened a couple weeks ago. 600 dealers, many people down there. They sold $10 million in significant rare coins during that what was called the fun show, Florida United Numismatists Fun Show. And there were some very significant coins. There was, for instance, an 1870 Carson City $20 Liberty. It was in a NGC holder, AU50. The Red Book value is $375,000. It sold, I'm sure, for more than that. Some of these very rare coins, the 1799 Drape Bust Half and NGC Mint State 65 sold. They had an 1865 Heraldic Liberty Eagle and Proof 64. Never had one before. Went for huge amounts of money. So in the rare coin, the upper level of the rare coins, they're moving very quickly. Now, are more coming on the market? Well, once in a while a rare coin is found, but I would, think that that isn't a common occurrence. These coins that are sold for one of the favorite coins of the United States is the 1804 silver dollar. There was one sold at Long Beach and went for in 2010 it went for $3.7 million, and it's going to come up at the American Numismatic Association sale in Rosemont, Illinois next week. I expect it to go higher than $3.7 million. So it's a robust market out there among the really expensive coins, and to me, it's kind of a good indicator as to why having coins that are certified by PCGS or NGC make a lot of sense for the more average collector. If the NGC and PCGS coins are bringing 500,000 and above premiums, hey, that's good for me. That's a good grading service for me to put my coins in.
In the 17 years that you've been involved with the wholesale coin business, how many times have you found a coin that is completely underrated? You look at it and you say, this coin is going as an almost uncirculated, and it turns out that this thing is really rare. Do you have you had instances like that where all of a sudden you say, yippee?
I wish I did. I wish I did, but no, nothing is so exciting. I think that's not uncommon. What I found was the funniest thing was I was working with a guy who was single, and he started dating a woman here in Tampa, and eventually got to meet her parents, and went over and they said, "Oh, what do you do?" "Well, I sell rare coins." And they said, "Oh, hey, we got a couple coins. Let me show you these things." And they went into their cupboard where they had one of those old matchboxes, the diamond matchbook, and in it were two coins. And my friend Bob looked at it and he says, "Wow," he said, these could be rare coins. And so they were submitted. They were certified, authenticated, and encapsulated in a what's called a tamper evident holder, and returned. And the wholesale value of one of them was over $10,000, and another one was about $7,000-$8,000, and it had been sitting in there for years in her cupboard. Yeah. And those are kind of exciting stories.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm. I can remember when I was a kid. This is a little bit off topic, but when I was a kid, a friend of mine and I decided to hitchhike down to Mexico. And his grandfather had passed on, I don't know how many years before, and left him his stamp collection. And we were looking through the stamp collection, and Grandpa had marked one of the stamps that was worth $25, and that was maybe 30 years before. We thought, I'll bet it's even worth a little bit more. I don't remember how much more it was worth one way or another, but it paid for our trip down to Mexico.
Yeah.
So
too bad it wasn't one of those airplanes flying upside down. You know?
I don't know. I don't remember what it was. I've never been a stamp collector, but I understand that you can find things. And it's something to think about, not only for yourself, but it's also something to think about for the people who collect these coins and leave them for their children or for their grandchildren. You know, you may be, those of you who buy these collectible coins, they're nice to have and nice to hold and whatever and a good investment and so on. But maybe you're leaving a surprise. I guarantee you, my friend Rick, I'm sure he still remembers Grandpa's $25 stamp. I don't remember what it was myself, but Rick, I bet he remembers. And same thing I'm sure would happen with some people where their grandkids find, oops, look what Grandpa left.
Well, what I recommend, and I've been on the receiving end probably too many times of people who have come in to try and sell coins that they have inherited from grandma, grandpa, parents, and they come in and they have absolutely no idea what they are, yeah. And they have no idea what they're worth. And my thing was always to talk to them and say, well, you know, we can buy them all, but wouldn't you like to keep one or two that maybe you could pass on to your children and tell them about grandpa or grandma or whatever? And the upshot of that is what I really recommend to anybody that has coins and have put their hard-earned, hard equity away, is to leave a note that tells who to contact in case of your death, and what they're worth, and how it's determined, and give a little insight to it, because a lot of people don't talk to their family about it. They just kind of leave it, and it's part of their estate, and it's gone, and it could be very misinterpreted. And I think it's a great opportunity for somebody to really care about what comes afterwards, because it's not just the value, it's the intrinsic, hey, this came from grandma, or this came from great-granddad. And that, to me, is very important. It's a beautiful part of having coins.
There's a heritage that's involved in these coins that's more than, you don't see it. There's not exactly a heritage in bullion per se, but in the collectibles there is. And even if Grandpa, he wasn't there when the Mint State 62 1931 coin was minted, but still, Grandpa's connected with that to some degree. If he's left it, it adds something.
Not only that, grandmas and grandpas who were around to save those coins are becoming limited now because we're aging, as a, civilization is aging, people are dying, there's no
coins
more coins.
Are disappearing.
They're disappearing.
I mean, all of them are going
to
ultimately.
So I would think not only is that so important to hand it down through the family, but also it's going to make the market for coins even more desirable and certainly a lot higher in price.
Well, I think one of the other points about it is this. You're going to need to leave some instructions about those coins to prevent the grandchildren or the children or whoever gets the coins from being taken advantage of.
Absolutely.
I'm going to guess that a savvy coin dealer can tell in the first 30 seconds when somebody approaches them whether or not this potential seller of coins, whether they have a clue to whether this gold coin is worth more than a silver dollar or whatever. I mean, people come in and they express their ignorance. They trust, and not all dealers are trustworthy. And the point then, if any of you have stumbled into Grandpa's stash of gold coins, you better do your homework. It's a good idea to do homework before you go down and talk to your first dealer and then start shopping and see what happens. But you need to do your homework and don't go in just blind.
I can't tell you how many of my clients, Al, have left strict instructions with their children and grandchildren that, something happens to me, you don't go anywhere, but you call Melody right away.
Right.
I've
That's
had,
very important.
Husbands tell their wives. And their wives call me the day after their husbands pass, or vice versa. So it's very important, and because they will be taken advantage of.
I know. It's again, this goes to the idea you have to have a personal relationship with your dealer. It's if you're going to be serious about these coins and you're going to buy and sell on a regular basis over time, and particularly buy, it's just makes absolute sense. Find a dealer you can trust, stick with them, and you'll do the best possible.
I'm probably going to wade in here where I shouldn't go, but one of the things that has bothered me over the years, and I see it among different customers of mine, the other dealers that I provide coins to, one of the things that's difficult in the business is a person who goes running around trying to find the absolute lowest price. And they go from one dealer to a website to a, you know, this program, that program, and they buy into the lowest, cheapest price. And of course, you see it on TV with these ads about everything at 0% over dealer cost, 1% over dealer cost, and it just frosts me because it seems to me that in this business, where you're putting out a fair amount of money to get a coin, something that is good either as an investment, a hedge, a survival barter routine, just plain you like it, or because you want to have bragging rights, or whatever reason you buy it, you want to know you get good quality for your money. And that's what we were talking about earlier. And I just think you find a dealer that's going to do right by you, and if they're a percent or 2% higher, you go to a restaurant and you don't even bat an eye for leaving 15% for the waitress. It's you shouldn't bat an eye if it's going to be 1% or 2% higher, and you get something that's really worth it.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's pursue that a little more when we come back. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cedarstone, Dave Krieger on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom and Dave Krieger on Financial Survival. And when we broke for commercials, We were talking about, Dave was talking about, that it may be ill-advised to kick all the tires from every dealer you can find in order to buy the absolute lowest possible price that you can find. Now, a lot of people say, well, it only makes good sense. But, you know, to get the lowest price, it's just you buy low, you sell high. It's the essence of trying to make a profit. But what I suspect happens is if you're going to buy from a dealer that's got a 1% markup, there's a good chance that you, once that business relationship is established, you may tend to sell back to that same dealer at a later date. 5 years, 10 years later, maybe you're going to sell. And the point is, if he only had a 1% markup to start with, what do you suppose he's going to pay when he buys that coin back? Do you follow what I'm saying, Dave? And if you do, it's more important to get a dealer you can trust that'll give you a fair price when you buy and a fair price if you sell.
Well, I think that's true. I'd kind of look at it even in a different way. What is dealer cost? I mean, it's easy to say, okay, it's 0% above dealer cost. Well, dealer cost is a lot of stuff. It's the, when I buy coins from another company or an individual, I can lay out a fair amount of money. And, I buy each individual coin for X number of dollars. But that isn't my cost. My cost is, running a brick and mortar secure facility, telephones, people that process this. Pretty soon, what dealer cost is can be just about anything, including your markup and whatever else. It's how you interpret what dealer cost is. So, dealer cost, certainly if you're running ads on all the major cable news programs and you have expensive people who are your spokespeople, that's a lot of dealer cost in there. And I think a lot of people kind of misinterpret and they say, oh, man, yeah, it's 0%. Wow, I wonder how they do that. Well, I do, too.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I've got calls before, David, where, so-and-so can sell me 1 ounce gold eagles for $20 over spot. And it's like, well, I hope you get them because we all know. It's impossible, unless he bought them back at $200 behind spot or something ridiculous like that. But then who is this person going to sell it to when he's ready to cash them in? So, again, it's coming back to building that relationship so you know exactly what you're going to get.
Well, just remember, you go down to the local supermarket, they're bringing you in because they have those loss leaders that are in there.
Yeah.
And, it works the same in a lot of businesses.
Everyone understands that there's strong probability the price of gold is being manipulated. There's some disagreement about that, but high probability the markets are being manipulated in terms of the price of physical gold. And I know the price of physical gold is reflected in the price of the coins. But is there any evidence of any sort of industry-wide manipulation of the prices of collectible coins? Or is this pretty much a free market process where prices are changing on a daily basis, weekly basis, whatever, but they're changing in relation to the free market? They have to reflect the price of gold and silver. I understand that, but there's still the collectible is on top of that. The premium for the collectible is on top of it. Is the premium manipulated?
Well, I don't think so. Now, I'm going to give a disclaimer. I have no insight into any manipulation of the gold market at all. I buy and sell coins, and that's pretty much what it is. I buy and sell them on the wholesale level, so maybe I have a little bit more of a feeling for what's going on in the wholesale community than in the retail market. But I don't see any evidence on your specific question about premiums. For instance, you know, there. Let's talk about the premiums on a certified coin, for instance. Let's say that if you know, compare a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle and $20 gold piece, there is a premium difference of, you know, X number of dollars. Sometimes that premium is more, or sometimes it's less. And to me, what I most often see is that a specific coin may be pushed by a special purchase, or you know, one of the larger companies may run a special on them, and so they become a little harder to get to fulfill those orders. So the premium might rise a little bit, but I don't see it as a huge difference. I've always kind of thought that if you buy in and you buy a raw coin, a raw 20 lib, and you there's a premium that goes with it, and you compare it against a, let's say, a 63 or a 64 certified 20 lib, it's a relatively same amount of premium that fluctuates over time. It might be a little bit of a change, but overall it's about the same. It always seems to be about the same percentage ever since I've been in this business.
All right. What's my next question? How thin is the market right now?
Is the market?
There's relatively little silver, it's my understanding. Silver market is relatively small, relatively thin, and therefore more volatile than the gold market. But how thin is the gold market for coins? Will there always be a lot of coins out there, or how much of a percentage increase in public interest would be enough to make gold jump dramatically? You see my point? How many people? What percent? I'm fumbling with this, but I guess the first question is, what percentage of Americans own gold coins in the first place?
Well, I think a relatively small number in comparison to who should be holding gold coins.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds funny, but...
It sounds absolutely sensible to me.
I'm just a big believer that, you know, the fundamentals of our economy are shaky at best. And, you two are much more qualified to talk on that than I do. But, you know, I'm a voter. I watch this stuff, and I get nervous. I mean, you know, trillions of dollars in debt, you know, pumping, you know, money into buying bonds, all this stuff. I mean, it's confusing to me. And, you know, I don't have any great confidence that, you know, we're not going to be running into, you know, some serious inflation, some serious economic problems here in the not too distant future. And as a result, I think that you know, there's interest. People certainly know about it, but I don't think I think there's not enough information that's flowing through the society that's saying, "Hey, put a few coins away." You know, get something away so that at least you can ride, you know, make a hedge against inflation. You can have something there in case the system collapses. You know, you can, you know, have it as part of your portfolio.
One day those folks will wake up and they will all rush into the market. And
they won't even need to all rush into the market.
No, we only need maybe 5%.
We have maybe 1-3% of the American people, I'm guesstimating, own gold coins.
Probably less than that. Probably 1%, maybe.
All right, 1%.
Yeah.
So if the market even increased to where 5% of the American people said, "Hey, I want some gold," clearly it would increase prices. And I'm just curious if anyone has a guesstimate as to how much that price increase might be. We went from 1% to 5%. Do you have any feeling on that, David, or
no?
Do you think it's up?
No. I'm just not qualified to make that judgment. As much as I'd like to, you know, tell you, oh yeah, it's going to skyrocket, I can't. I have no idea.
You must be a mature man who has learned through experience not to speculate on these kinds of things.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I really knew what was going to happen, I'd be, you know, on some yacht in southern Florida right now with a captain taking me to the Caribbean. But the fact is, I'm not. And I've been in this business long enough to know that it's hard to see what's going to go on. But I will tell you this. I have a 27-year-old son who is very smart, and he was a lieutenant in the Navy. He's gotten out. He's an engineer for a big oil and gas company. He's well paid. He's done well. And 2 weeks ago, he said, "Dad," he said, "I've been looking at my finances, and I want to buy some gold. Will you sell me some gold?" I said, "Sure, of course I will." So I sold him a tube of 50 Swiss 20 francs. And he put it away. It's in his safe, and you know it's what's in there. That's probably what he's going to keep for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of invested in that. He's got that as a hedge. He wanted that hedge because he saw, 27 years old, that the economy isn't doing good, and he just wanted to put that little bit in there. It seemed like a reasonable thing to me, and he's kind of okay about that. So if I
and
do
I,
that for
I
my family,
you're proud of him for doing so.
Well, I'm very proud of him, and if I'm doing it for my family, you can imagine that I can see the desirability of doing it for others. So I just don't think you go berserk and buy, put everything in it. But I think a modest amount and something that you really like, that's something that's beautiful and something that has that value, and that makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. I've had people comment that they hear from some of my other competitors trying to sell them bullion or maybe even a paper investment like shares or something like that, that they'll say, if you buy $20 gold pieces, they're when the economy collapses, there will be no one there to buy your coins. They will only offer the melt value of their coins. And we talked about this before. We both found that to be sort of a ridiculous statement, that there's no historic fact to support that.
Well, first of all, I would just kind of rise up and say, okay, so somebody's trying to sell an ETF or a piece of paper, mm-hmm. And he's making the argument that nobody's going to buy it if, economic Armageddon comes. I just have to turn it around and say, well, who's going to buy your paper?
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. So I wouldn't even talk about that. But
have a difficult time.
But people survive
and people sell, and there will always be a market. Yeah. There is a market for gold coins that were made by the Etruscans a couple of thousand years ago.
Let me say this real quick, because I see we're kind of running out of time. But I was thinking about this for a while, and I think that, okay, gold right now is at $1,320-some. So let's say $1,330. And let's say that there's a $200 premium difference between a certified coin and something else. If we're talking about the economy going down, what is the other thing that these people always say? The other thing they always say is that gold is going to double or triple or whatever else. If you're talking about a $200 premium between a certified coin that is something where you know the quality of the coin, where it's preserved in a non-affecting holder that keeps the coin pretty much in the condition that it is. You can touch it, you can throw it, you can bounce it off the floor, and it's not going to hurt the coin very much at all. And, if the $200 on the price of the coin is roughly 14 or 15% difference, gold just has to rise 14 or 15%, and you're still okay. Yeah. 1330
and in fact,
gold
it's done that
plus
14%. It's done that for 12 years in a row, practically.
Yeah.
The last 2 years have been down, but for 12 years we did that. Point being that you almost can't lose. You almost
can't lose.
If you
buy gold today,
if you're prepared.
And it goes up to 1500, that's your 14% right there.
I understand.
So
I think
it's a bogus argument.
I agree.
But I'll tell you what, we are out of time, folks, so I have to thank Dave for being on the program. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom and Dave Krieger on Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back mañana. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Dave, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.